what this means is instead of being really, really good at organic content, you're going to need to be really, really good at pay-per-click advertising, because that's essentially what Facebook brand pages are going to become if you want to get more people to see your posts. You're going to have to pay to support them.
Branding, experience, conversation, promotion. Powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the Internet Show, all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power, power to the power. Small business.
That opening snippet was from Jason Falls of Social Media Explorer, and it's in response to some moves made by Facebook to limit the number of brand page fans that see your posts, down to as low as 1% to 2% of people who actually like your page. Hey there, I'm Jay Arrett, Dean of Marketing Know-How at themarketingspot.com, here to dispense truth, justice, and the marketing way. And our topic for this episode, number 98 of The Big Show, is should small businesses ditch Facebook? But first, a couple of reminders. This podcast will be reformatting in just two episodes, beginning with number 100. And it has become apparent to me that I actually might need to start a brand new podcast. Now, when I started this podcast over 6 years ago, podcasting was kind of a new frontier. There wasn't a standard way of doing things, and I read a book called The Podcasting Bible. Yeah, there was a Podcasting Bible back then, and I chose a podcast host because you have to host these media files somewhere that feeds into iTunes. It doesn't actually rest in iTunes. iTunes just distributes your feed from another host. And so I chose, in my opinion now, the wrong host for that. I've been with them for a long time, and I cannot expand the number of shows that I have on there without doubling the amount I pay per month to host. And on top of that, they just don't have the distribution that some of the more popular now established podcast hosting services have. So I may need to actually start a brand new podcast, but don't worry if I do that. For a while, I will post new episodes both here and on the new feed, so you will have plenty of opportunity to listen in both places and eventually change over to the new feed, and the podcast will have a brand new name. That's right. And who knows? I might just keep Power to the Small Business and occasionally post episodes here too. But the podcast will have a different twist, a different mission, and thus a different name. It will still be marketing and making you a better marketer, but also, well, you'll see. Stay tuned. I don't want to jump the gun here. Still got a lot of work to do before we launch the new episode or the first episode of the new podcast. Also, starting next week, April 3rd, you still have time to enroll in my new online workshop, Create a Custom Marketing Plan to Grow Your Business. It's just $249, and from start to finish, we'll build a custom marketing plan exactly for your business. Lots of tutorials, templates, worksheets, and it's a gently paced course, so you don't have to do it all in 1 week. As I said, it's $249, but for you, the podcast listener, you get a discount for your loyal listenership. It's only $175. There's a discount code 175 at checkout. And that's a 30% discount. So go to themarketingspot.com/plan. That's themarketingspot.com/plan. And remember the discount code 175 at checkout. And if you go there, I've got a 15-minute audio program that you can listen to and decide if this is the workshop for you. If you have always thought about you need a plan and you want to get a marketing plan so you stop wasting time, stop wasting money on your marketing, then this might be the workshop for you. Go to themarketingspot.com/plan. Okay, should you ditch Facebook? I've been actually considering this for The Marketing Spot because I've noticed Facebook starting to limit even more so than they had been the number of people who see my posts. In the past couple of years, Facebook has ratcheted back the visibility of your posts. You think it's just whether or not your post is popular, but no, Facebook has intentionally turned the volume down on your post. And initially it was about 15 to 17%. They were allowing 15 to 17% of your fans to see your posts. Then if it got shared or liked, then more people would see it. but they start with a baseline of 15 to 17%. Well, now what Facebook has done is they are turning that way, way back. So your brand page posts will only be seen by about 1 to 2% of your page fans, just naturally. This means essentially that unless you pay, your posts will not be seen by 98 to 99% of the people who like your page, who you brought to your page and got to like your page. 98 to 99% of them are not going to be seen unless you pay Facebook. How does that make you feel? Like ditching Facebook? I've been considering it. I've been experimenting with ads, promoted posts, things like that. And I haven't made my final decision yet, but here to help us out is Jason Falls of Social Media Explorer. He wrote a poignant article on this called The Great Facebook Swindle and What to Do About It. And he is our guest on the featured segment today. Jason Falls is a leading digital strategist. He's an author, speaker, a thinker in the digital and social media marketing industry. He leads digital strategy for Cafe Press. He also continues to serve as founder and chief instigator at socialmediaexplorer.com. And he's going to help us answer the question, should we ditch Facebook? So now joining us on the Skype line is Jason Falls of Social Media Explorer, and he wrote a great blog post on March 24th, and I'll link to it in the show notes, called The Great Facebook Swindle and What to Do About It. And Jason, great job on that article. What inspired you to write that? What motivated you to write that?
Well, thanks, Jay. It was fun to write. I sit down every weekend and try to kind of, you know, think of something to write on the Monday post on Social Media Explorer that's going to kind of catch everyone's attention and get their thinking going for the week. And on Friday, Valley Wag had reported that a Facebook marketing insider had basically said, hey, you know, brands need to get ready. We're going to start ratcheting down the organic exposure even more, which basically forces brands to have to pay to sponsor posts in order to get their Facebook page content seen by more people. And so I was thinking about that. I was thinking about some of the frustrations that I'd been having with the organic reach of posts that I'd been posting, not just for Social Media Explorer, but also in my day-to-day role at Cafe Press, which we obviously have a pretty large Facebook presence and do a lot of activity there. And so I started to kind of put those things together in my head. I went back and read the Valley Wag article, and I just kind of got my brain churning around it and said, look, this changes the game for brands that are marketing on Facebook. What this means is instead of being really, really good at organic content, you're going to need to be really, really good at pay-per-click advertising, because that's essentially what Facebook brand pages are going to become if you want to get more people to see your posts. You're going to have to pay to support
them. Which you called it a swindle in the title of your blog post, but then you try to give both sides of the story throughout your article. So that was amusing. So you were good there. You tried to be fair to Facebook, but the title did say swindle. From the big picture, Jason, doesn't this essentially eliminate small businesses from the Facebook brand page picture? Because we're already having trouble just engaging in posts, and now you want us to be, as you just said, pay-per-click experts.
Right. I think it does and it doesn't. There's going to be several small businesses that just say, well, this is awful, I give up. And I think over the long haul, unless Facebook, which again, when companies like Facebook make these changes and sort of introduce a new way of doing things, it is to their benefit for more businesses to use those services. So my guess is that they're going to continually tweak and make it more attractive for businesses, big and small, to use Facebook advertising and so on and so forth. And there might be some efficient fallout for them to ratchet it back and say, okay, well, we can't play with that organic reach as much as we had. But I think there's going to be a long tail reaction to this, which is going to be that brands, big and small, are going to see that for the time and energy that they have to expend putting together fantastic organic content on Facebook, then also having to add money and media buy on top of that in order to to get that great content seen, it's going to be more efficient for them to just buy pay-per-click ads on Google and other networks. They can get more eyeballs for less effort in other channels. So what Facebook is going to have to do if they want to remain competitive and continue to serve these businesses that have been using Facebook for organic content, they're going to have to make it worth their while financially to invest the time and energy in the organic Facebook content, and then supplementing that obviously with some sort of media buy, that it would be to just go write up a pay-per-click ad, which, you know, takes about 12 seconds if you know what you're doing. So I think there will be some small businesses who are hurt by this because they look at it and think, okay, that's way too complicated. I can write a really good Facebook post, but I don't know anything about advertising, so I've got to stop doing that. They will focus on other social networks, maybe their blog, maybe LinkedIn, so on and so forth. However, there will be some small businesses that realize, well, yeah, I have to pay to support the post, but I can control my budget just like I can on Google. I can do $10 a day. I can do $10 a week. And so for those small businesses who are willing to throw a little bit of money at it, they're probably going to still be able to see some success.
I'm sure a small number will, but as you know, a lot of businesses do Facebook because, air quotes here, it's free to do Facebook, which attracts a lot of businesses to the brand page, which was Facebook's big swindle, as you put it in there. We attracted everybody, say, hey, get your fan page and it's free and everything like that. So I think for a small minority, you're right. The people who know how to do it and will get it, they'll do it. But I think you're going to see a large number of small businesses and some medium to larger size businesses do it too, for the reasons you just enumerated there. But also, doesn't this essentially, at least in the short term for right now, eliminate this organic content or these clever posts or the useful posts on your Facebook brand page? Because virtually nobody's going to see them unless you pay to get them seen. And I'm not going to have a clever post or a funny picture or a statistic, a useful statistic, and then pay $20 to have my fans see it. So I'm saying, hey, I'm not going to post those things anymore. I'm just going to post links to my stuff, offers, and things like that if I'm going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, I think there's two ways that brands could go here with this. I think what you just alluded to, brands could say, you know what, screw it. I'm not going to invest the time and energy in really good content. I'm just going to post basically ads and pay to have people see them. And you know what? For some brands, that's going to be effective. So they're going to enjoy it and they're going to be paying Facebook money. They'll be happy. Facebook will be happy. But what that will mean for the user is that branded content will be really spammy. It'll just be another billboard, another ad in the middle of my experience. I do think, though, that there will be some that realize that they can still invest time and energy in organic content if they just are able to do two things. If they're able to make that content really, really good. So this is going to separate the wheat from the chaff in the content marketing world. The really, really good content folks are going to stand out because they're going to be able to produce content that, the second piece of that, they got to produce really good content first. But the second piece of the equation is you've got to be able, as a brand, motivate your audience to not just like the content, but actually seek it out and share it with their network. Because if an individual comes to, let's say, the Dell Computers page, if I go to the Dell Computers page and I see a post on Facebook that I like and I hit the share button and I write a little, hey, I just found this over at Dell, this is awesome, and I hit share, that posts in my friends' news streams as if I posted it, not as if Dell posted it. So what this is going to do is this is going to reward the brands that have really loyal followings and really good content. And in when you look at it from that perspective, from a user perspective, Facebook's probably doing its users a favor.
You said in your article, content marketing is no longer amateur hour, and you're going to have to be good or you simply won't get seen. So that is true. You're going to have to create that content. But I'm wondering, as you brought up the question earlier, is it really going to be worth it? Is it going to be worth it for a lot of these brands to stay on Facebook or not? I think that's the big question. And you give Facebook some credit for long-term thinking here, or I thought you did, and I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure this is good long-term thinking, because I have to say, when I've talked to most small businesses, they don't have the time and they don't have the money to hire content marketers, and they don't have the time to start saying, now I have to produce great content and I have to be good at placing ads too on Facebook.
Right. And this is where I think I will give Facebook, well, let's say I'm going to anticipate that Facebook has a much smarter long-term way of dealing with this, and they will read and react to the use of Facebook brand pages as they ratchet this organic thing down, because Facebook is in a very unique position. You think about it, when you look at any technology startup, whether it be a social startup or any other type of e-commerce or website in the last 10, 15 years, what happens is they start out by trying to get big by collecting users, right? That's the currency when you first start out as a technology, a website, a startup. So you get users. Everything's free. You give away the farm. You just want a lot of eyeballs. Then you start getting investors. Then you start getting funded. And investors want more than users. Now, the angel investors and the early round of funding, they're like, no, keep collecting users. That's good. We want more users. But there's a tipping point, usually, when you get to B or C round funding, and then certainly before you go public, if you're going to have an initial public offering, there's a tipping point where you say, okay, screw more users. Now we need cash. We need a revenue model. We need dollars in the door, because if we're going to go public, we can't have the stock tank. It has to go up and to the right, right? And so this is exactly what Facebook has done. They've collected users, and now they've gotten to the point to where they are a publicly traded company and they need to show revenue on the bottom line for their investors. So they're making changes to do that. However, Facebook is unique among all technology startups really in the history of the world, because they have a platform that is an advertising and a media platform that can fit the needs of the large enterprise business, but can also fit the needs of the mom and pop, small business. And what they're doing, as you've alluded to already, they're starting to push the mom and pop away. I think they're going to realize that they've made a mistake a little bit and start to try to collect the mom and pops again, or try to course correct a little bit after they see what this initial shock value will do to the small businesses on Facebook, because I think they know they're in a unique position. And even though most investor-driven companies say, screw small businesses, we're going after the enterprise because that's where the money is, I think Facebook is in a very, very unique position to say, hey, we can go after the enterprise and the big brands and the people that are going to spend thousands of dollars a month on Facebook advertising just fine. But we've also got a huge fertile audience of small businesses out here that if we make the product right for them, they will spend money. And in aggregate, they will give us more money than all of the enterprise businesses combined.
Yes, because there are many more small businesses than there are large brands. And large brands have a much bigger pie of opportunity or many more choices to advertise than small businesses do. What I have to ask you about this, as you're talking about this, and it's worked short term for Facebook, right? Because I think it was fourth quarter, their advertising revenue went up exponentially over the previous year. So they've been working on this for a year and they're there. But what we're really saying here, and what I get from all this, is here we go back to advertising and so much for marketing 2.0. Aren't we really back to marketing 1.0? Or did we ever really leave it? The tools and the channels are different now. Now we do it digitally, not through traditional channels, but it's really kind of the same thing.
The point that I made in the article was that basically what Facebook is doing here is admitting that it is now a media outlet on which brands wishing to reach audiences need to advertise to reach those audiences. Now, there was this romantic notion that many of us in the social media space, in the web 2.0 space, whatever you want to call it, over the last 10 years or so, we've thought, hey, there's got to be a new way to advertise. There's got to be a new way to communicate, to market your products and services in this new social. It's all about joining the conversation. It's all about, having useful content that's organically shared and all this good stuff. What Facebook is saying by doing this is, you know what? Screw that. Buy an ad. And that's where we're left. Facebook is basically kind of saying, hey, yeah, we're a social network and yeah, we're social media, but social media is a bunch of crap. Just buy ads if you want to see people. That's what they're saying. And I don't know if they're intentionally saying that, but that's the read that the brand world is reading. I can guarantee you that when this announcement started to trickle out on Friday, when the news started to trickle out that this was going to happen, I promise you at 99% of the advertising agencies around the world, someone turned turned to someone else and said, I told you social media was bullshit, because that's kind of what Facebook's saying.
Yep. But it's the way they look at themselves. And you just said it. They said, screw it. We're CBS now, or we're NBC like they used to be in the heydays of television. But this has happened on other social media channels too. I hear, and I listen to lots of podcasts. I listen to marketers, maybe too many marketers. And you hear, like, when Facebook releases paper, it's like, oh, now Facebook is going to be the king of content curation with paper. And I'm like, wait a minute, content curation? What? And the same with Twitter too. Twitter even now kind of refers to themselves as rather kind of like a, not a content curator, but a disseminator of information or something like that. Where do you go to get information rather than where you go to connect? And so these so-called social media companies, they just don't view themselves really as social media companies anymore.
Well, and I think it's a byproduct of the maturation of the product and the audience that uses them. Because when, you know, Twitter was all about, you know, sort of this, you know, personal network of friends that you could go back and forth with, until it went mainstream and celebrities started using it and news media outlets started using it. And then it became the great news ticker. You know, you could get personalized news tickers from, you know, Snooki or whoever the hell it is you think's important, right? And so Twitter became the news ticker for everyone. And that's kind of the mainstream usage of it. The people like you and I who have been around on Twitter for quite some time use it very, very differently than most people. Facebook's kind of the same way. You know, now it's becoming a place where it realizes, in order for us to make money, we've got all these users. We've got 1.2 billion users, and they love the features. They love the functionality. They love the fact that I like to joke around and say, if you're older than 40, you go to Facebook to see pictures of your kids and grandkids. and if you're younger than 40, you go there to stalk your ex. And people love doing that. Whatever activities that they come to Facebook for, they dig it. I mean, I would have never in a million years, 5 years ago, predicted that my wife would ever give one lick about social media. She just would not care. But as soon as one of her high school girlfriends announced on Facebook that she was pregnant with her second child, my wife can't get enough of Facebook, right? So there's something there for everyone, and you control your circle of friends and the content you see and all that good stuff. So Facebook knows that. And because they are looking at 1.2 billion users, are like, wait a minute, how can we continue to do this, serve the users so that we have those eyeballs, but how can we make a buttload of money out of it? And the way you make a buttload out of money out of 1.2 billion sets of eyeballs is you put ads in front of them. And that's exactly what this move is about.
So, yeah, that's how I communicate with my mom, too. That's kind of amazing. I see my mom on Facebook. My mom sees me, and my mom's in her 70s, so.
Yeah, the day that my mom joined Facebook, I wrote a post somewhere. I can't remember where it was. It may have been on Facebook, saying, okay, that's it. I quit. I'm moving on to another social network. And it was obviously just a joke, but it didn't become a joke because three or four days later, now granted, my mother is in her 60s and she had only been on Facebook for about 72 hours. She decides to write me this, you know, 400 word diatribe about my family and all sorts of crazy, weird, you know, family stuff going on. And of course she posts it on my wall, not as a private message. So I had to call mom and say, Mom, let me explain to you how Facebook works.
So you talk about the maturation of Facebook and these other social media channels, and the younger generations, if we read some of the studies, they seem to be turning towards some other things because, hey, their parents are on Facebook and they don't want to get on there in front of their parents. So we hear stuff about WhatsApp, although WhatsApp just got bought by Facebook, but Snapchat, WeChat, Viber, Telegram, there's lots of those that are more one-to-one communications or specific group communications rather than just kind of open-ended where you post something out on Facebook and everybody who's your friend can see it. So do you see a trend towards that, Jason? Do you think that may be the next evolution of the social media?
Well, I think the next evolution of social media is not necessarily that Facebook's going away or there's going to be a next Facebook or a next Twitter, but I do think you're going to start to see the second or third social network that someone uses is going to be the big one, the big platform like Facebook, where they can sort of broadcast, where they can, you know, follow celebrities and mainstream news and so on and so forth. But the primary primary social network that people are going to use is going to be very closed door, very private, very micro. And I actually use one right now called Path. And I don't know how many of your listeners know Path, but Path is mobile only. You're only allowed to have up to 150 connections on it. So it's very small compared to most social networks. And basically, I set rules for who I friend on Path. I have to have know you personally, which I normally say, you know, I have to have shared a meal with you. That's probably a pretty good test. I have to trust you to watch my children. So I will not be a friend with anyone that I wouldn't trust my kids with. So that limits the population that I would be friends with on there really, really tight. And then my third rule is actually kind of fun. I will not friend anyone on Path who I work with or who I'm related to because I need somewhere to bitch about them. And that's the micro social network, the very small, close-knit Facebook group, if you like, or, you know, private Twitter list or private chat room or something like that. I think that's the next sort of wave of social media, because now that we've experienced and the mainstream public has experienced this explosion of, oh, look at all these different things we can do on all these social networks with all these people in the world. Now they're going to go, wait a minute, I don't want to do all that. I just want to talk to my 9 high school friends. I just want to keep up with my fraternity brothers. I want these little small micro communities where I can get really, really relevant information and have really, really relevant conversations. I'll go over to Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and do all those social networking things for work or for sort of the larger broadcast mechanisms of getting my content out there or seeing other people's content. But I really want to focus on this small group of friends a little bit more intimately.
Really, Jason, if you look at your Facebook stream, how much communication is really going on anyway, and it's just posting of links and quotes and pictures and funny things. And so,
yeah, you're right. And I think the same thing has become true for Twitter in a lot of iterations. I mean, I still use Twitter, you know, to just go back and forth and chat with people, but not nearly as much as I did 5 years ago. And Facebook's the same way. I'm much more of a broadcaster on Facebook. Of course, a lot of people would say, well, it's because you're a selfish son of a bitch, but whatever. I still am more publishing content and looking for reaction than I am actually having engaged conversations. Now, I still engage in conversations. I comment on other people's posts and whatnot. I use Facebook much the way we used blogs 6 or 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true of a lot of people. But you're right. It's become much more of a broadcast mechanism, which is why I think we need somewhere where we can still have a genuine conversation with people. And that's why I think these micro networks are going to reemerge.
I was an early adopter of Twitter, and I remember agonizing whether I should go over 150 friends at the time on Twitter. And I was like, and we actually used to talk. Now it's like 9 out of 10 posts or links here, click on my stuff and come see my stuff. So, well, before we get finished here, Jason, I want to talk maybe a little bit about some solutions or some workarounds or how to approach Facebook now. As a local business or a small business, even a medium-sized business, if you're going to use Facebook. And one of the things that you said in your article was, instead of saying like us on Facebook, to visit us on Facebook.
Yeah, there's a couple things there. Remember the factors there that, you know, the audience that you have on Facebook as a brand, there are people who have raised their hand and say, hey, I want this company's content. But now Facebook's not going to let most of them see it. So you're going to have to direct them. You're going to have to ask them to come to your Facebook URL. So, for instance, at Cafe Press, instead of saying, hey, like us on Facebook, we're going to have to say, hey, come visit us at facebook.com/Cafe Press. Or maybe we could, you know, set up a cool redirect of Facebook at cafepress.com or whatever, or facebook.cafepress.com and redirect people that way. So we're going to have to start driving people to a destination. Now, if you start to think about that as a business and a brand, if you're going to drive them to a destination, why wouldn't you drive them to your website? Not Facebook, where you control everything. So that brings to mind the question, are businesses actually going to do this? I don't know. But if you really are putting effort and energy into Facebook content and you still want to try to build that sort of opt-in organic audience, that's one way to do it. The second thing, and we touched on this earlier, is instead of asking people to like your page, what's the point if Facebook's not going to allow you to get your content in front of those people? Now what you need people to do is share your content, because when people share your content, as I said earlier, the content goes into their friends' news streams as if it's from them. So what Cafe Press, for instance, needs is an army of people who will take our funny design of the day, share it with their networks, and say, I just love Cafe Press's design of the day. Go check this out. That's going to organically grow your page audience. But again, with this new Facebook setup, your page audience isn't going to matter since they're not going to see the posts organically. It's not really going to matter that you're collecting likes. What you're going to have to do is motivate people to share your content.
It's another good argument for creating content on your blog and your website or video or wherever, and using the social sharing tools there to get people to share it onto Facebook rather than directing, having people share your Facebook posts, have them share your blog posts and send them to your website where you can use a, where you can convert them from your website or your blog or your video channel, wherever you're going there, rather than sending them to your Facebook page.
Why would you worry now about collecting likes on your Facebook page if Facebook is going to prevent those that audience from seeing your content? What you can do is just use your Facebook page as a kind of an advertorial content promotional platform. Post whatever you want to post. It could be ad related. It could be organic content like you would post on Facebook. But with ad targeting for the post, you can go in and say, I want the people who like my page to see this. But you can also say, I want people who look like the people that like my page to see this. I want people in this demographic to see this, right? So you can target now those sponsored posts to anyone, not just people who like your page. So now all of a sudden you have access, because you're paying, you have access to more of the Facebook audience in total.
And I wonder how long it's going to be, especially since, even with my little mind, I just thought of it, where now companies will pay people to share their stuff so that it will get seen in news feeds, where you can have an army of people sharing your stuff rather than, although that might not be cost effective. I don't know. Now that I'm thinking, maybe that's not effective.
You know, it opens up an entire, you know, sort of different line of questioning. And it also opens up a lot of potential regulation from the SEC and whatnot, because if you're going to pay people to share your stuff, that has to be disclosed and da 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 da, right? So all these regulations come into play. But I think what it really is pointing us to, and I don't think this is a bad thing, I think this is intuitively a good thing that Facebook is doing here, is it's pointing brands and it's basically saying to them, and it's a little bit like Google, and I'll draw that comparison here in just a second. What Facebook is saying to brands is, what you need to do is go out there and do such a great job with your product, your service, or your content that people want to talk about you organically. Right? And it's kind of like what Google has been trying to tell us for years. Quit trying to game the damn system and kick ass as a company. Kick ass with a great website and great recommendations and great referrals, and you're going to rank well in search. So if we snap out of this, how do I game the system? How do I fool the search engines? How do I fool Facebook? How do I fool people? And say, hey, how do I create a really awesome company and a really awesome product and do a really awesome job communicating and providing service and getting recommendations and referrals from people? If you do that, ultimately you're going to win. And that's what this new sort of web culture out of Facebook and Google and whatnot is trying to teach us, I think.
Yeah, there's always people trying to game the system, though. But what a great idea. Why not have a great company, huh?
Novel thought.
Well, a couple other things that I wanted to mention and get your opinion on this. I just tried it, and I think I heard about it from Christopher Penn over on Marketing Over Coffee. I heard him talk about it one time, where you can load onto Facebook, you can run, have targeted groups that you show your ads to. You can load your contact list. You can load your email list from MailChimp or wherever you use. I use MailChimp. And Facebook will match those up with existing Facebook users. And so then you can have a targeted group where you show your ads only to those people. And that's the highest engagement rate I've seen since I've in what I do.
Oh, no doubt. If you're looking for it in the Facebook ad area, it's in the advanced area. So if you're in your ad manager and you go to advanced, it basically allows you to upload an email list, and you can do one of a couple of different things. You can say, okay, I want to target the people that are on this list, or you can say, I want to target people who are not on this list, right? So if I already have them on the list, I don't want this ad to appear in front of them. So that opens up a couple different opportunities. You can use those custom audiences as customer acquisition, lists to be more efficient there, or you can actually use them as customer retention strategies, right? If you say, hey, if I can talk to my own audience that already knows me, that's going to be more highly relevant ad to them, as long as I know I'm talking to that audience and I write it for them. So the relevancy factor goes way up, which means your metrics are going to go way up too.
One more thing I wanted to mention. If you have a really loyal fan base who really wants to see your stuff, you can use notifications too. And I double checked today just to make sure Facebook hadn't done away with that too. But on your brand page, it's mm-hmm. not a fan page anymore. You can ask your followers to select the get notifications option under the like tab. So it will show up, when you get your notifications, when someone likes your stuff or when someone shares your stuff or comments on your post, that little, in the upper right hand corner where you get notifications, you can have your fans set it to where they get notifications every time you post something. So that's one, if you have a really loyal fan base. Now, that's not going to happen for everybody, but people who really want to see your stuff. And so you might actually use some promoted posts to ask your followers to select the get notifications option.
That's a great little hidden nugget there, Jay. Good find.
Okay, well, Jason, hey, thanks for writing that article and getting this conversation started. It's been making me mad, and you put what I've been thinking into words.
I am the channel for every marketer's anger.
Well, somebody has to do it, so I'm glad it's you.
Absolutely.
If people want to find more of your stuff, where can they go?
SocialMediaExplorer.com is a great place to start. I am normally the Monday blog post there. We have a nice team at Social Media Explorer, including Nicole Kelly and others that blog there as well. I'm Jason Falls on most social networks. I'm pretty active on Facebook and Twitter, and I'd love to have you folks connect with me.
Very cool. Okay, Jason, thanks for lending your expertise here on Power to the Small Business.
Thanks, Jay.
And remember, you can get complete show notes as well as links at the Marketing Spot blog. Just go to themarketingspot.com and you'll see the blog spot up at the top. Click on that and you can find this post. So what's the answer? Should you ditch Facebook? Here's my advice. Unless you have a website of your own, unless you have a piece of real estate on the web where you create content and have a conversion strategy, I think most small businesses should ditch Facebook. I didn't say all, but almost all. For example, I know some local day spas that will post their limited time specials like massages for just $35 for an hour. And you can call to claim yours. They post their phone number. That's direct conversion from a Facebook post. I don't think it's brand building, but it is one good use of Facebook. Now, another example is if you have a really loyal fan base who loves to like and share your content, and especially if you can convince them to get notifications from you, then continue with Facebook. And what I'm going to do here in the next couple of weeks, or maybe in the next week, is I'm going to post a little video tutorial on how to do that, how to get your fans to get notifications from your Facebook page. And finally, if you're willing to go the paid advertising route, and you are proficient with it, or you're willing to learn to be proficient at it, then continue with Facebook. But still, you need somewhere to send your fans, and that should be your website. And you know, over the years, I've preached it, build content of your own. Own your own piece of real estate on the internet. That is your website. It's not Facebook. It's not Twitter. It's not Pinterest. You own none of that. And Facebook has just stuck their finger in your eye and said, see, we told you, you don't own it. You now answer to us. Give us your money. There's no free shortcut. If there is, everyone will find it and it'll be eliminated, or someone will game the system and it'll have to change. There's no substitute for hard work. There's no substitute for being a good business, a great business, like Jason said. Be a great, unique business and people will find you. They'll like you. They'll want to be your fan. They'll want to check out your stuff. They'll want to do business with you. So there's my advice. Should you ditch Facebook? I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do yet. Right now, I'm experimenting with paid advertising, and I don't know if that's what I want to do long term or not. But if you have some idea of what you're going to do, drop me a line, email me at jay, that's J-A-Y, at themarketingspot.com, jay@themarketingspot.com. You can also call my business line and leave a voicemail. I get an MP3 file of that at 254-399-8093. That's 254-399-8093. And as a reminder, check out the details of my new online workshop, Create a Custom Marketing Plan to Grow Your Business. It starts April 3rd, 2014. If you're listening to this at some point in the future, just go to themarketingspot.com/plan. That's themarketingspot.com/plan. And I'll be continuing these workshops throughout the year. So if you're listening to this in the future, go to the website and see what we've got coming up. If you go to themarketingspot.com/plan, listen to my 15-minute audio program and see if this workshop is right for you. And then if you decide to enroll, remember, use the discount code 175, that's 175-175, to get a 30% discount. That's themarketingspot.com/plan. Thanks to Jason Falls of Social Media Explorer, and thank you for listening. Send your questions, comments, accolades to jay@themarketingspot.com. That's jay@themarketingspot.com. And we'll catch you on the next episode of the internet show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arendt, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspot.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
Our thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of The Big Success Show for the opening and closing credits of the podcast. You can find Mary Lynn at The Big Success Podcast, biggsuccess.com.